informative, and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, TNT, today's News Talk. Today, we're going to be talking about the news and then talking about it some more. And we've finished talking about it some more. We're going to talk about it even more still, because that's what we're all about. 24/7, 24/7, talking about the news here on TNT. And I am Rick Munn. This is Locked and Loaded. And of course, as you would expect, we have an absolutely jam-packed 2 hours lying ahead of us here this morning. Who have we got coming on? Well, of course, we've got Gemma Cooper joining me in just a minute, our news correspondent, talking about the breaking stories of the day in the UK and Ireland. Then the wonderful Phil Zimmerman will be joining me around about 20 past the first hour. And apparently we're going to be talking about controlled opposition. Does it exist? Is it a thing? If so, should you be concerned about it? Can we do anything about it? Or is it just a myth? So Phil and I are going to be chewing the fat over that one. And also, of course, some stories that are happening in the UK. Also, Basil Valentine coming up at the end of the first hour. Second hour, interesting one. We've got Jack Brooks will be joining me here on TNT for the first time. He is a Reform Party candidate for the Birmingham Erdington constituency, apparently. And I'm looking forward to talking to him, because we've been covering a lot of stories recently here on TNT concerning the Reform Party. And I'm afraid to say some of them are a little bit shady. So what better way than to get Jack on, and he can tell us a little about himself, where he fits into the scheme of things, and maybe answer some concerning questions that some of us may have about Reform, but all done civilly, of course, and in order. We're professionals here, so we're interested to see what Jack's going to say in the second hour. And then, to finalise things, Rob Hutchinson will be beaming in from South Africa. Finally, he was in transit last week. He was held up on a journey. He wasn't able to get home in time to get on the show. But he's coming on today, and we will be talking about news that's happening in South Africa. Last night, Rob and I were texting each other, sending each other lots of amazing music from the 1980s. We're both fans of alternate 1980s goth rock type stuff. I found some amazing Sisters of Mercy 12-inch singles on Spotify, sent them over to Rob. He was sending me Love and Rocket stuff. He was sending me Bauhaus. So we were just dew-eyed over the 80s music scene last night. But I promise, I suppose I'm subconsciously dumping all this here now, so Rob and I don't turn the last 20 minutes of the show today into a walk down 80s alternate rock memory lane. But there you go. Or maybe we will. You're just going to have to tune in and find out. And if you're a fan of 80s music, especially 80s rock, especially 80s alternate gothy type rock, leave us a message in the live chat. Let us know what your guilty pleasure is. Oh man, Floodland, Sisters of Mercy, what an absolute and utter gem. This Corrosion, Dominion, Flood 2, Driven Like the Snow. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I have to rein myself in here, or I could just talk about this album for a long time. And worth noting, if you do go onto Spotify and look at some of the songs, there's this, the lead-off song, Dominion. There's an EP of it on Spotify, and the second track of it is called Untitled, and it's like a slowed down instrumental version of Dominion, and it is mind blowing. And yesterday, Rob has this massive studio that he broadcasts out of, and he's got these big studio monitors on it, and he ran it through his studio monitors last night and almost blew his little South African head clean off his shoulders. So anyway, that's definitely want to check out, listen to it in headphones. But anyway, got to take a break, got to get Jem on to re-establish order here in the TNT house here and talk about some breaking news. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gemma, your services are required urgently this morning to restore news, law, and order back into the Locked and Loaded house again. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to join me on my meander down memory lane?
No, I'll totally join you on your meander down memory lane. When you said I'm not going to turn the last 20 minutes into a, you know, alt goth rock, I was like, no, do turn it into that. I've just got one thing in my head now. Bela Lugosi's dead, you know, like Bauhaus. That's what I love that album. I mean, oh my God, I need to rein myself in listening to you talk because it takes me back to my teenage bedroom, my goth bedroom with all weird paintings over the walls that I did myself, hand finished, you know, very proud of that. And my weird dress sense and my purple hair. And that was the look. It was the look, you know, I was fully into it. Goth rock. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh man, man, oh man. But anyway, awesome stuff there for the exploring over the weekend. So there's a suggestion for you people out there. Get on to it. One good thing about Spotify is you can revisit all these things and find unreleased gems with B-sides and one thing and another. So it's a little bit like Twitter or TNT. You can delve into so many areas here and refine it and fine-tune it to suit your own particular taste. But instead of turning the last 20 minutes of the show into this, I've effectively turned the first 20 minutes into it. So let's recalibrate again, and maybe the last 20 as well. What have we got on the breaking news front this morning, Gemma?
Well, there is a lot going on today for a Friday. It's an exceptionally busy day. I mean, the Rwanda bill is causing some controversy. The Deputy Prime Minister of Ireland saying that the Rwanda bill, which was only passed in law yesterday, 11:30 yesterday, it went through the Lords, it's now law, is causing more and more migrants to head to Ireland, adding to record levels of tension between the Irish people and immigrants, and also six arrests yesterday at Newton Mount Kennedy, outside that building that they want to house asylum seekers in. The Rwanda bill is doing nothing but push the problem around different parts of Europe, effectively. That's what he's saying. Echoing Helen McEntee, I know your favourite person, Helen McEntee, who earlier said in the week was talking about the border, the open border between Northern Ireland and the Republic, which is open because of Brexit and is causing further problems there. So warnings on that score. Staying with immigration in Rwanda, two men have appeared in Folkestone magistrates today, charged in connection with the deaths in the English Channel earlier in the week, that dinghy that came across with more than 100 people in it. They've been charged in connection with those deaths. There were reports actually before the charges were made that the boat was stormed by rival migrant gangs who were armed. That's why the boat was overcrowded and that led to the problems and led to the drownings. There's not really much we can say now that charges have been brought. And also, all eyes are on Humza Yousaf, First Minister of Scotland this morning, to see whether he will resign today. He was supposed to give a speech at the university in Glasgow, at the University of Strathclyde on independence. He's cancelled that ahead of what looks like a no confidence vote. And the Scottish Labour Party within the last hour has tabled a motion not just to have a vote of no confidence in Humza Yousaf, the First Minister, but the entire Scottish National Party forming the government, saying it's not good enough to just to get rid of him. They want to get rid of the whole government, which is a very exceptional move in politics. Let's see where that goes.
Yeah, indeed. So a lot to cover there. I also was following very closely the events of the protest that was happening in Newton Butler. Let me get the name correct. Newton Mount Kennedy in Ireland. We covered this earlier this week, Gemma. I had Philip Dwyer on, also citizen journalist from Ireland and also candidate for the Ireland First Party. He was down there covering this off yesterday. Two crazy scenes that we saw in that place. And last night, actually, one of the Gripped media team, and they're an independent news platform based out of Ireland, a member of the Gripped media team in Newton Mount Kennedy last night, having clearly, audibly and repeatedly identified herself as a journalist while posing absolutely no threat to public order or public safety, was nevertheless pepper sprayed directly in the face by a member of An Garda Síochána, the Irish police force. So we have footage of this incident, writes John McGurk. In my view, the footage clearly records an illegal assault on a member of our team and will result in a formal complaint to GSOC and whatever other action we deem appropriate. So pepper spraying, quote, legitimate journals, unquote. We saw buildings being, or fires being set last night. The RAD squad was moved in. The police were in with the RAD gear, beating back residents of this place who are simply, Gemma, super concerned about their future and their safety. They've had their questions haven't been answered. They haven't been acknowledged. And this has been building up in tension throughout the course of this week. So now we saw this manifestation last night where there was a large fire. I'm looking at footage here with a large fire and RAD police moving down the street, beating back residents of Ireland to make way for foreign men to be implanted or planted into their village. Crazy scenes, but it was almost always on the cards. This, it's building up to a horrible crescendo.
And you have to ask yourself, I mean, this is scenes that were echoed in Llanelli in Wales, where James Freeman and I went to see the protest that was established there by local residents because they didn't want them in a hotel that had been closed down, focal point of the community, to house immigrants. And it's always the type of area that they end up parachuting these foreign people into. It's very often poor areas, very often working class areas where people traditionally don't have a voice. And these policies, you know, they think, oh, people won't be able to kick back. Well, people are kicking back, as clearly has been seen. But, you know, it's such an orchestrated policy in many countries around the world to put these people in poor areas, disenfranchised areas, people that haven't traditionally been able to stand up to the system. But of course, more unrest means more police control, police powers, and clamping down, you know, the local police force, clamping down on local people, some of whom they probably have been to school with, you know, and that they know. This building division between different groups of communities and society. Very orchestrated globalist policy, as we know, migration around the globe. The scenes in Ireland we've seen elsewhere, and we will continue to see them. The issue here. But it is interesting that the politicians are speaking out against the Rwanda bill and saying, look, it's not doing anything. It's just making everything worse for us now and other European countries. And saying, you know, that it's not achieving what it's setting out to do. And of course, it won't deter the people in Dover and Calais who've already said, we don't care about the Rwanda bill. We're going to carry on coming and risking our lives to come, as we discussed earlier in the week. So the problem's just shifting around. But obviously, it's the local communities, very often poor, disenfranchised, working class, that bear the brunt of it.
Yeah, and also worth noting there, you brought up about the influx of people coming into Ireland now because of the Rwanda thing. Looks like it's going to finally kick in after years of talking and deliberation and backwards and forwards. But another report came out this week that approximately 80% of the people that are flooding into Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, looking for refuge or asylum, are actually coming via the north. So they're jumping on a boat going from, Scotland probably, or Liverpool over to Larne in Northern Ireland. And then they're hopping down across the border into the Republic where they are seeking refuge. So they're bypassing me effectively. I could almost sit and watch them passing me by as they head down towards Dublin. So a real pain in the ass for the Irish that's happening at the minute. And one last comment on this one, Gemma. A commentator, a very good commentator in Ireland, Michael O'Keefe, has posted footage up of this disturbance last night, and his comment was last night was a massive escalation from the Irish government and a huge mistake. Men, women, kids and journalists were all beaten and pepper sprayed. Why? Because Gardaí are following the orders of an illegitimate government who are intent on planting Ireland with foreigners. They are radicalizing the entire country against them. And I mean, you can almost feel and see the tension building up and building up. And everyone has a breaking point, sadly, and people are not being acknowledged. They're being demonized, they're being vilified, they're being labeled as far-right extremists and intolerant. These are just working people, Gemma, of Ireland, women, children, men, old and young, everybody in between. They just want answers and they're not getting them. They're getting stuff forced down their throats. So, you know, this is an inevitability almost, and very, very sad to see, but it is what it is.
Absolutely. And I do think it's that thing of not being listened to. You could apply that to a lot of issues, not just immigration, but this is the one that's unifying people. And it is that them and us mentality of us at the bottom, the globalist agenda, which this clearly is. Migration, immigration clearly is a globalist agenda, destabilization of cultural norms. But it's the tinder pot. But you have to be careful, you know, are we being steered into violence? Are we being steered into radicalization? And then, you know, the boot will come down even harder. You know, the people at the top are very clever at pulling the strings, all of the strings, including our strings. We don't realize we're being manipulated. And levels of violence like that we're seeing, you know, that we have to be careful. I understand the frustrations. I completely do. And as I say, the types of areas where migrants are put, very often, you know, it's not a surprise, working class, poor, disenfranchised, haven't got a voice. And then the voice, when they do exercise it, oh, look at them, bunch of far-right nutters. You know, it plays into a narrative. We have to be careful.
Yeah, and of course, they're not being planted or dispatched into wealthy, affluent Dublin suburbs or, you know, the Malone Road in Belfast, a very, very affluent place in Belfast. You won't see any direct provision centres down there. You'll find them dispersed out into the rural areas or into communities maybe that don't have so much going for them. And that seems to be the model, Gemma, and it's the model that they are following. And undoubtedly, tensions will continue to rise over this weekend and spread further afield. It's just the way it's all playing out, and I do believe it's extreme provocation on the part of the Irish government here, especially the traitors and the treacherous folk that are currently in power at the minute. So we've got to take a pause right now, maybe revisit some of these stories again in the second hour, especially to do with old Humza Yousaf hanging on, I would say, for dear life to his position in the SNP. So we'll delve into Humza and his affairs later on in the show. Thank you very much, and we've got to take a break right now and welcome Phil Zimmerman on. So stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
TNT's Patrick Henningsen.
All the focus of the West, of Washington and its allies, are all focused on Israel right now to support and help Israel and to somehow contain and deter Iran. Okay. So that means that Russia kind of has an open field with regards to what it wants to do. So think about that for a moment. Could we have a situation in this new world, this multipolar world, where the Iranians and the Russians, they're allies, and certainly Russia's not going to slap Iran on the wrist for this latest salvo against Israel. Why? Because it absolutely ties up the United States and its allies right now in the Middle East.
Patrick Henningsen on Today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Today's News Talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
Yes, TNT, it's Friday, the 26th of April, 2024. Very happy to be joined again this morning by the one and only Phil Zimmerman. He is a comedian, an actor, and also a political commentator and, you know, fairly regular sparring partner of mine here in the best possible way on the Locked and Loaded show on TNT. Phil, how are you doing this morning? I hope you're well, and I hope you're being taken care of by whoever.
Yeah, I'm good, Rick, and yeah, it's good to be chatting to you again. Yeah, it's always a pleasure, never a drag.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Very glad to hear that. And the same applies for me too, obviously. Something people talk about a lot, Phil, was suggested as a possible discussion point, this business of controlled opposition. You know, is there any controlled opposition out there? Should we be aware of it? Is it a figment of our imaginations? Is it something we should even be concerned about? How do we spot it? What do we do about it? In your opinion and in your view, Phil, controlled opposition, yes or no, and can and if we should do anything about it, what do we do?
Well, it's an interesting subject, isn't it? It's always struck me as being rather an odd concept, the idea of controlled opposition. I mean, one thing I don't subscribe to is this notion that the elite, I don't call them the elite, I think of them as low vibrational beings, the globalists that we often talk about that are pulling the strings of a lot of the crazy and evil stuff that's going on. I just don't see them being all powerful and pulling the strings of absolutely everything and being in control of everything. And then, you know, you've got the notion of controlled opposition, whereby you've got, you know, figures like, for instance, David Icke, or maybe Andrew Bridgen, people that are in the public eye and are speaking out against the prevailing narrative. And they get a lot of flack. You know, David Icke gets a lot of, I see lots of people on social media saying that David Icke is controlled opposition. And the same thing recently with Bridgen. You know, the thing is, I mean, and some people say, well, I've heard it said about Alex Jones, oh, they'll give you 80 or 90% of what they say is true, but then the rest of it, they're really working for the other side, you know. And the thing is, I think of it as in like a metaphor, a game of football. How many own goals do you think you can score in a game of football and still win the match? You know, I mean, if someone is telling the truth about any given subject, that is a very powerful thing to even tell to just one person. And of course, with social media now, it can spread very fast. So they would have to get the balance just right. I mean, the question to me is not about is Andrew Bridgen really working for the other side, and you know, is David Icke a double agent? Is he an agent of the globalist? The point is, you use your common sense to decide, well, this person is speaking out against the narrative. They're revealing something powerful, like Andrew Bridgen standing up in the Commons and speaking out against the vaccine is a very powerful, dramatic scene where someone is speaking truth. That I think that's much more significant than is Andrew Bridgen a lizard? You know, it doesn't look like a lizard. Is David Icke a lizard? David Icke talks about, you know, the Queen being a lizard. I think, you know, think about these people, like, you know, let's just think about a lizard list for a moment. You know, Netanyahu, Sunak, Blinken, Starmer, Rachel Maddow. Wow, that's a good one. Yeah. Rachel Maddow or Mac. And I think to myself, you know, because that's the thing that Ike gets a lot of flack about, isn't it? It's the lizard thing. I think lizards get a bad press, to be honest. Lizards are cool. You know, I think all animals are pretty cool, really. That you can trust them a lot more than humans. And I'm trying to think to myself, I'm looking at Netanyahu, or I'm looking at these jackbooted, helmeted, rifled policeman, I was just watching the other day, attacking a 14-year-old Palestinian girl who's trying to go to the grave of her mother. And they're wrestling to the ground. They're punching her and kicking her. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, lizards? Is that lizard stuff? I can't actually think of something on this planet, some kind of creature that I would equate with Netanyahu or these type of, you know, hooligans. I mean, there's nothing actually that correlates with that type of energy. You know what I mean?
I do. And here's the thing, right? And everyone can be, you know, categorized. I mean, me personally, I have been called satanic, Freemason, globalist, chill, I'm controlled opposition. Listen, I know I'm not.
Me too.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't really give a damn what anybody says of me or thinks about me, except that the people that are close to me in my life and the people that I love, their opinions matter to me. Nobody else's opinion matters, whether that be good or whether that be bad. So no matter who you pick, if you pick anybody from any list of people these days, somebody somewhere will find a reason to label them this controlled opposition business. Now, I have no doubt, believe me, I have no doubt that there's a lot of people out there working to further their own agendas. But then again, isn't everybody to an extent out there working to further their own agenda to get a little bit ahead in life? And some people do ride the tide of public opinion and flip-flop around in issues because they think it'll serve their purpose better in the long run. You can see that happening all over the place. However, let's be honest, who doesn't do that to a degree in their own life? And though I'm like you, you listed those people, David Icke and Andrew Bridgen. I just don't follow those people, personally speaking. I don't really pay them a great deal of attention. There's other people I focus on. Sometimes have question marks about them, sometimes I don't, but I don't get myself worked into a lather about it. I don't get my knickers into a twist about it. I focus on the people that I do place value in their thoughts, opinions, and comments, and I focus on them and bringing factual things to the table, the like of which we're talking about here this morning. So, you know, Is there control? Are there Pied Pipers out there that are trying to lead us down the garden path? Yes, I absolutely believe there are. But if you've got any brains in your head, you'll be able to spot them quite clearly. Simply don't follow them. Warn other people about them and then let them come to their own conclusions. I think we're too much time and effort invested in converting people to think the way we think. And maybe there's just this slim possibility that we might get some things wrong too. God forbid, we can make mistakes as well, Phil.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I mean, if you think about it, we're coming here dealing with a situation where, as we can see more and more now, the whole, you know, apparatus of mainstream reality has been captured. And we're dealing with something that, you know, this has been corrupt and evil for a long, long time. It's got decades, maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. It's a long, long time. So We're still pioneers, aren't we? In anyone that's speaking the truth, or any truth that's coming out, should be kind of celebrated. You know, it's about the information, not the messenger. And as you say, nobody's perfect. We should also celebrate the fact, because it's about looking after your mental health as well, isn't it, Rick? You know, with all these lizards running around, and, you know, geckos. I like geckos, are lovely, aren't they? Goannas. We've got to celebrate the fact that, you know, if there is controlled opposition, it's there because the system is under pressure. And things like TNT radio, these huge marches for COVID and Gaza, they are having an effect. Otherwise, that they wouldn't need to twist and turn and lie and you know, do all this evil stuff and try and keep the lid on everything. They're under pressure and they're losing the argument. That's why we're even discussing the idea of controlled opposition.
Yeah, well, we've got to take a little pause, Phil, and when we come back at the other side, it's just 30 seconds for headline breaks. Let's look at some of the thoughts, opinions, and comments that are in our live chat. Some very interesting ones, and then, of course, it's a very polarizing topic, so we'll try and address some of those when we come back at the other side here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio News. We are your station for news.
News. Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Israel has been accused of carrying out field executions in Gaza following the discovery of multiple mass graves in the Palestinian territory. It's been revealed the US is considering turning unused oil rigs in the Pacific Ocean into floating military bases that would be used to fire missiles and resupply US warships. And Moscow has warned it would downgrade relations with Washington if the US confiscates frozen Russian assets.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, always a very polarizing and interesting topic to bring up here. Just scanning across the live chat at some of the comments. Satanta says, "What? How about Lawrence Fox? How about him? I don't follow the guy. I have zero interest in what he has to say. Do I trust him? Do I put any faith in him? No, absolutely not personally. So I just put an X beside his name and pay him absolutely no attention whatsoever." Lord Melbury says, "I wouldn't trust Joe Rogan as far as I could throw a cement mixer." Well, neither would I. I've never met the guy. And, you know, who can you trust these days? You know, trust is something that has to be earned. And unless you've actually spent time with anybody physically in their company for at least a period of a month, because my opinion is, Phil, that if you spend time with somebody for a whole month intimately in their contact, sooner or later, they will manifest their real personality to you, take down the veneer and take down the fake mask. So, do I trust Joe Rogan? No. Does he have a successful podcast? Yes. Does he influence my life? Absolutely not. So I just, again, I don't pay him a great deal of attention. And again, like this, there's a list forming here. Well, what about this one? You forgot about that one. That's the point. Can you ever fill this list, Phil? And will any two people's list be the same? Should we not just make our own decisions in this, put an X beside the ones we're questionable of, and just pay them no attention or warn people about them in our opinion and just get on with our lives?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a great article online which people might like to look at by the great Caitlin Johnston. I really like her. She says, it's called How to Tell If Someone is Controlled Opposition. You know, she's basically saying, yeah, you, what you were saying, you've got to trust yourself. It comes down to common sense. And, you know, if you spend too much time externalizing, trying to think, is this person telling the truth? What are they really like? How much of what they say is actually true and false? I mean, again, it comes down to the information. You take what you like from something and you reject the rest. You don't have to like the person. You don't have to agree with everything they say. I certainly don't agree with everything David Icke says. I think he's put a lot of powerful information out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what sort of, I have briefly met Andrew Bridgen, but I don't really know him. I don't know if he's a great person or not. Certainly people say that he, you know, signed the coronavirus, he agreed with the Coronavirus Act, he voted for it. Yeah, he did. But obviously we are looking for people from the other side to come over to this side, aren't we? We don't have to like them, it's about the information and the effect that it's having. Are we moving forward? Are we revealing stuff? Are we waking up people, or are we going backwards? That's what's important. It's not about, you know, do I like this person? Do I think they're everything about them is great or not? It's about what's the overall effect, you know?
It is. And here's the thing too. Like I said, everybody has agendas. So we're just taking this as an example. Take Bridgen, for example. I believe he's going through a messy period with his relationship. Him and the wife have possibly split. There could be money need to be paid. The dude's got to make a crust somehow. Maybe he sees an opportunity somewhere. Maybe he doesn't, and he's monetizing off the back of that. Same thing with Lawrence Fox. Again, I don't follow him, but I saw a headline last night. He's been ordered to pay 180 grand's worth of libel charges to two people that he labeled pedophiles, allegedly. So he's, he's 180 grand short this morning, and you know he's got to find that from somewhere. I don't know if he has it in his back pocket or not, but you know he's got to be scratching his head this morning going, I need to get the old income stream happening there. People need to pay the bills. And yeah, flip-flopping around. Some people can change their mind. I've no doubt. Look at all the doctors in the NHS. Do you expect me to believe that they all believed that wearing a mask was effective? No, but they put them on because they were afraid of losing their jobs, not having their kids in private school anymore, not being able to make the down payments on the BMW X5 or living their lovely suburban lives. So people are very much motivated, Philip, by money and by greed, and they've got themselves into these debt traps, and their morals and their integrity goes completely out the window simply to keep a roof over their head. And again, each to their own, but you know, I just don't follow people like that.
Yeah, I mean, mentioning masks there, I don't wish to be flippant about such a serious subject, but my show, Bill Gates Killed My Hamster, does reveal very important information about the mask issue, where Bill Gates, I've got him on the video, where he says, well, he doesn't understand what's the downside of wearing a mask. I'm quoting him, I'm paraphrasing. What's the downside of wearing a mask? You have to wear trousers. So what's the problem with wearing a mask, you know? That's a really comprehensive explanation, isn't it, of why people had to wear a mask. Anything?
Yeah, exactly. And listen, the list is going on. We'll have to kind of wrap this one up here. But, you know, other people are being thrown out. Russell Brand, Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, Katie Hopkins, Stephen Lennon, or Tommy Robinson. Again, I don't know about you, but I have too much going on in my own life. I have enough to deal with in the life of Rick Munden to give a shit what Tommy Robinson's doing or Katie Hopkins is doing or Russell. I don't give a flying F what they're doing. Somebody in the live chat, Jason Brooks, said these two presenter and guests, that's you and me, are jokers. But there you are listening to us on and on and on. So we may be jokers, but you seem like an absolute muppet. And if you don't like that, why don't you come on the show and you and I'll have a chat, Jason. You seem to have an awful lot to say, but you're doing it from the anonymity of your bedroom or your basement behind a keyboard and probably a fake name. So if you want to, you can come on and set us all to rights. The invitation's always there for people to do that. And that's what I mean. Why get worked up about something that's really not important in the grand scheme of things? And I suppose that's why we're talking about this today. So people are tied up in knots about this, Phil. And in reality, what does it profit? What if you do get a list of people that are genuine? What does it do in your life? How is it going to improve your world in any way, shape, or form? It's not. Cut out the crap, sort the wheat from the chaff, and focus on the good things in life, I think would be as good a way to end this conversation as any, would it not?
Absolutely. And focus on the fact that we are the creators of our own reality. We have got tremendous power. We don't need to focus on all this external stuff. You know, that's what it comes down to. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't think. they don't really think, and they don't use the power, the great power they've got.
Yeah. And use your time wisely. Old Jason said there, I only come on here to mock you. Listen, let me give you a little piece of advice, Jason. I don't know if you're being serious or not, but get yourself a life or a job or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Get yourself a hobby. Get out there and live your life. Or a lizard, a pet lizard. You know,
there's better things. They're great.
A gecko. There's better things for you to do, I'm pretty sure, and I say this with love, than to sit on TNT if you're not happy with us and waste your time and energy mocking gimps like me and Phil Zimmerman. So, yeah, you make your own call on that one. And genuinely, I wish you nothing but the best. But come on, people, everybody, assess your time, assess your energy. And if something's not doing it for you, find something that is. Go and do something productive, because any kind of negativity just eats you up and profits you absolutely nothing. And we love everybody, by the way, that's listening in. Even the people that we don't agree with or don't agree with us, you're all welcome here. That's the whole purpose of having TNT in the first place. But on that note, Phil, I want to wish you a very happy weekend, and thank you very much for taking time out to come on here and talk to us this morning. Of course, it's been a very lively debate, a lot of to-ing and fro-ing going forth, and of course, it's a hornet's nest that gets poked every once in a while, but that's not such a bad thing. So you have a great one, and thanks again, as always, for taking the time out this morning. We'll be back.
Pleasure,
Rick. You're welcome. Short break with Basil Valentine. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more here on TNT.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor, creating new visions. Now, my fingers are my eyes. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that means a lot to me. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Whatever happened to good? It's a word that gets thrown around a lot, and it's become our automatic answer to so much.
Hey, how's things?
Good.
Your mum, your weekend?
Good, good. Is good even that good anymore? At the Salvos, we believe good deserves better. Let's reclaim its true meaning. To us, good has always been about making a difference, and good never picks or chooses who it helps. Isn't it time we all remember what good really means?
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
No, don't go away just yet. This is still plenty more to come here in the first hour of Locked and Loaded this morning. I'm happy to be joined again this morning by the one and only TNT political editor slash commentator slash guru extraordinaire, the one and only Basil Valentine. Basil, welcome to the show this morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Rick. Great to be with you. And hello to our viewers and listeners all around the world.
Yeah, plenty going on this morning. Basil talks of Humza Yousaf resigning possibly sometime soon. Immigration, Rwanda's never far away from the headlines. Ireland, some places of it are going up in smoke at the minute. A lot going on in the world right now. Where are we even going to start this morning?
We ought to start in Scotland, really, where Humza Yousaf's position as First Minister at Holyrood hangs by a thread. He faces two separate no-confidence motions. The first one from the Conservatives is about no confidence in Humza Yousaf as First Minister. Should he lose that vote, he might feel honour bound to resign, but he could, in theory at least, just ignore it and carry on, or resign and be replaced by another SNP candidate from within the existing government. The Labour motion is one of no confidence in the Scottish government itself. And if that passes, the First Minister, and all other ministers are required to resign. The Scottish Parliament would then have 28 days to elect a new First Minister by a simple majority. And if it cannot do that, Parliament is dissolved and an early election is held, explaining his party's move. Anas Sarwar, the Scottish Labour Party leader, said, "Scottish Labour has no confidence in Humza Yousaf or this SNP government. That is why we are laying a motion today to this effect, to say that the Parliament has no confidence in the Scottish government. It is for the people of Scotland to decide who is First Minister, not just a group of SNP members. Removing Humza Yousaf alone will not deliver the change we need. We need to get rid of the entire SNP government, which has left almost one in six Scots on an NHS waiting list, public finances in chaos, and public services at breaking point. The people of Scotland deserve a fresh start. This can only come with a Scottish election." One wonders if that statement wasn't written by artificial intelligence, frankly. You know, he makes a few data points, but it's decidedly Starmeroid in its repetition of all the predictable cliches there, isn't it, Rick?
It is. Well, let's say he goes. Let's say he does go, which is highly likely by this time next week. You know, he's hanging by a thread up there at the moment, Basil. There's very few people have anything good to say about old Humza. Then what happens? Is it just another case of what happened when Boris vacated his position? We had the unelected Liz Truss in there. She lasted, what, a good 6 weeks before she was replaced by the unelected Rishi Sunak, who's now leading us towards the next general election, or leading the Tories towards the next general election. You know, is it just throwing a hot potato around within the SNP up north of the border?
If the Labour motion passes and the entire government is forced to resign, I think the likelihood is then that there would be another general election in Scotland, and doubtless Anas Sarwar will be hoping to become First Minister himself within a couple of months. Elections are all the rage at the moment. Of course, next week we've got the mayoral elections, a whole raft of local elections. Sadiq Khan widely expected to become elected mayor for the third time in London, in spite of all the knife crime. One or two good things have come about during his reign. Most notably, I suppose, the introduction of all-night tube services. That's the only one that, as an occasional visitor to London, I've been able to benefit from. There's also a by-election, of course, in Blackpool South on May the 2nd. And Reform, we're going to hear from one of their candidates in the general election in the Birmingham Erdington ward, Jack Brooks, in the next hour, but their candidate in Blackpool is under a lot of pressure. Mark Butcher has denied any wrongdoing after the Charity Commission launched a probe into allegations that the soup kitchen he founded has been used to promote his campaign. He's posted a Facebook message this week which says that the campaign would be starting at the kitchen called Amazing Grays. Get it? He was later pictured shaking hands with the Reform leader Richard Tice at the premises and appeared there in a Channel 4 news report, which Reform UK election material could be seen. Charities are not allowed to support a political candidate or party under regulations. Hence, the Charity Commission has opened a statutory inquiry. I can't find a Workers' Party GB candidate standing in that election. There are various interesting independents. I've made it quite clear on many occasions I would like to see anyone but Labour or Conservative win. Amongst them is somebody, I'll see if we can get on the programme next week. Kim Knight is standing for the Alliance for Democracy and Freedom. One hopes that they live up to their name. She says, "I will stand for the people of Blackpool. As an independent MP, I can give 100% for the people." Well, she'd certainly stand out there. "I will wage war with any government to achieve the best for the people, the constituents. I will go over Blackpool accounts with a fine-tooth comb and make my findings public so we all know where we stand. And if I can see saving or better value for money, I would expect that to be reflected in better services or reduced local taxes." Well, she doesn't seem to be aware of the fact that as an MP, she's got nothing to do with local government, but her heart's in the right place. And I'm keen to find out more about the Alliance for Democracy and Freedom, Rick. sounds all very well on the menu.
It does. And also, speaking of reform, an article came up this week as well. Old Ben Habib has been ruffling feathers or upsetting people by saying, don't rescue people who scupper their channel boats, says Reform UK deputy. Ben Habib says the Navy or Border Force should not save people who throw themselves into the sea if they have refused other vessels. So obviously, some pretty serious talk coming out there from Ben. And, you know, having dug into Reform's manifesto a little bit yesterday, their policies, looking a little bit deeper in there, obviously they're trying to tick certain boxes with certain people that are disenfranchised with the Tories' view on the boats, for example. So is Ben Habib in this case possibly just coming down doubly hard on the rhetoric for that one to try and attract some people who think that the Tories are just going too light on immigration and the small boats crossing the channel, allegedly? But he's going the opposite direction. He's doubling down and saying, you know what? Let them drown. Let them drown if they need to. Forget the Navy. Forget Border Force. Let them drown in the channel. That's his words, not mine, by the way.
So, I mean, I think if you want to outflank the Conservative government on the small boats, it wouldn't be particularly difficult. But you need to get to the root of the problem, which is stopping them from sailing in the first place. It seems absolutely ridiculous to me that the French Coast Guard are not capable of simply returning boats to port as a matter of course. Of course, the government did get through their Rwanda bill this week, much delayed, hugely controversial, figures of nearly £2 million per individual for them to be deported. And James Cleverly said this week that once they've gone, once asylum seekers have gone to Rwanda, they can be there indefinitely. The British government does not consider itself obliged to take them back. But already there is a Rwanda effect on asylum seekers and economic migrants, for that matter, who are now heading to Ireland rather than the UK. Commenting after Justice Minister Helen McCanty disclosed a government estimate that 80% of international protection applicants are crossing the land border with the North. Michael Martin, the Tannaist, if that's how you pronounce it, blamed UK... Tannaist, thank you.
Tannaist.
Blamed UK... Okay, well, don't even say that one. But Michael Martin has blamed UK government policies. I believe the Rwanda effect is impacting on Ireland. And I think that didn't happen today or yesterday. It's been growing since the first iteration and publication of that strategy around Rwanda. I don't think anyone's gone to Rwanda yet, but to me, it's reflective of a policy. It's more about the rhetoric and the politics than having any real impact. Ireland is already struggling to cope with the numbers. Should the prospect of heading to sub-Saharan Africa prove a sufficient deterrent for many of the migrants, a lot of whom come from North Africa, no wish to head south, what are the Irish going to do about it? Are they going to instigate their own Rwanda policy?
Well, here's the thing, Basil. At the minute, 80% apparently of the people that are coming to the Republic of Ireland to seek asylum and to seek refuge are actually coming through Northern Ireland. So people that have heard about the Rwanda policy are looking to get into the Republic of Ireland where they'll be safe from deportation, because obviously Ireland aren't doing anything like that at the minute. So actually they're bypassing me up in the north, because of course we're technically still part of the United Kingdom here, and heading down to the Republic of Ireland where they will claim asylum. And it doesn't matter if they have documentation, it doesn't matter whether or not they have a legitimate cause to be there, they will be given the benefit of the doubt by the so-called ministries down there, the likes of Helen McEntee or Roderick O'Gorman, and they will not be booted out. That was one of the problems this week that McEntee faced when she was up in front of an inquiry about this, to say, look, you have had the option to deport thousands of people, but you haven't done it. There's only a handful have been deported. Why is this? And she's talking about human rights, and the majority of the people of Ireland wouldn't want to see that. She's talking out of her ass, quite frankly, Basil. And getting away with it up until now, I would say she's in the Humza camp. She's hanging on to that position as Justice Minister for dear life at the minute.
As we've said many times before, Rick, it's an issue that isn't going to go away in our lifetimes, absent a third world war destroying half the global population, or, frankly, a sea change in the economic and social conditions of the countries from which people are coming. It's as simple as that.
It is. And speaking of the Irish police force here, 13 Gardaí, this is an interesting story here. This was just published yesterday in the Irish Independent. 13 Gardaí are currently suspended for alleged drink or drug driving. Commissioner Drew Harris reveals a total of 94 officers have been stood down over various offences. Crazy statistic, that. 94 is a lot of police officers being stood down in the middle of a shortage of recruitment, unable to get candidates into the An Garda Síochána. And here we have 13 suspended at the moment for drink driving or drug driving offences. And these are serving members of the police force.
By the way, you said that slipped right off the tongue, didn't it? An Garda Síochána. Got it there.
An Garda Síochána.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, 14 suspended due to alleged dishonesty offences and 13 suspended due to alleged sexual motivation offences. Uh-huh. That's an interesting category, sexual motivation rather than an act. Anyway, 8 Gardaí have been suspended due to allegations of domestic violence or coercive control, and 9 due to the alleged disclosure of information from the Pulse computer system. Well, yes, not a very good look. Other suspensions related to issues such as assaults, abuse of processes, and drugs.
Yeah, interesting the way the wording here as well from the commissioner, Basil, he said, Mr. Harris said it was very regrettable that anyone would be suspended from the organisation. It's not a decision taken lightly. He didn't say it was regrettable that members of the organisation were committing these crimes. Notice that.
That's
he
right.
didn't regret that. He said it was very regrettable that anyone would actually be suspended, which also suggests that they probably pushed things around as far as possible to make sure that they weren't suspended, but these are extreme cases whereby there was no alternative but to suspend. But I thought that was a very odd statement for Harris to come out with. Regrettable that anyone will be suspended, not regrettable that members of An Garda Síochána are actually out there committing these crimes, almost 100 of them in total. And that's not regrettable, but it's regrettable that they lead to a suspension from the police force.
Oh, yes, and one other little factoid, the number of road deaths has risen to 69 in Ireland so far this year alone. That does seem a high number. And as a result, every Irish copper, if you call them that, is now going to have to spend half an hour per day, per shift, policing the roads, a model borrowed from Sweden. I want to do a hard pivot now, Rick, to another story, which Reuters are reporting, but I haven't seen much of the UK press picking it up, which is that 2 million people across England and Scotland are apparently still suffering from long COVID symptoms, of whom 380,000 have had their day-to-day activities limited a lot. This according to an official study published yesterday. The Office of National Statistics said 3.3% of people surveyed between February the 6th and March the 7th reported having COVID symptoms that had lasted for more than 4 weeks since an initial infection and were not explained by any other medical condition. I'd like to know what percentage of them were jabbed, Rick. I wonder if the ONS included that question in their survey.
Yeah, and this business as well of long COVID, does it exist, does it not exist? People say, well, COVID didn't exist, so how could long COVID exist? Without a shadow of a doubt, Basil, after the global rollout of the jab campaign, a lot of people have been in a very, very bad way. Some people have died suddenly. Some people have had autoimmune diseases. Some people have lost a leg. You know, we have guests on here that have been really devastated by having these COVID jabs and have never been able to go back to work at all. Now, obviously, those are extreme cases, but some people are just completely wrecked after getting the jabs, or as some people say, after getting COVID. But the bottom line is 2 million people are now in a position where they are debilitated to the degree that many of them can't actually work at the minute. And much like the excess death business, everybody's attributing it to everything except the COVID jab. So no, you don't see too much correlation at the minute going on between long COVID, and I say that in inverted commas, and the so-called COVID injections.
Indeed, extraordinary increase in the number of working age people who are now long-term sick, which has risen by around 700,000. You know, getting on for 750,000 people. since the beginning of the COVID farrago. So if indeed it was a military grade PSYOP, it's one that has backfired spectacularly.
Yeah, it has. It has. And here's the thing, Basil. It's one of those things. How do you even diagnose it? Because with people with vaccine injuries that are trying to get compensation, they have to pass some type of a test, I think it is, to prove they've been at least 60% disabled. But if somebody presents to a doctor and says, I think I've got long COVID, how do they even diagnose that? Is there a diagnosis for it? Do they have to prove that they've been 60% debilitated before they get indefinite sick notes and to be able not to return back to work again? I don't know. So it seems to be a lot more easy to define certain complications from COVID jabs and so-called COVID than it does to be able to define others. And of course, there's a lot of people out there that are suffering as a result of these injections and have yet to get any compensation whatsoever. Basil, we're up to time on this one for now, my friend. Thank you so much for your input as always. It's been a blast working with you all week, and I hope you have an absolutely epic weekend. That's the one and only Basil Valentine, and I shall be back after this news break with more Gemma Cooper, with Jack Brooks, and also with Rob Hutchinson. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more here on TNT, today's News Talk.